What is up, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple, Spotify, and everyone tuned in on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app? Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK live on Texas Sports Unfiltered and on the TSU app. Today is Tuesday, December 23rd, 2025, and the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours on our final show before Christmas. We're talking Texas football. DeAndre Moore is hitting the portal. Manny Muhammad is hitting the draft. Hero Canoe reportedly coming back to Texas. We'll talk about all three of those bits of news. Plus, Texas basketball sleepwalks through a win over Maryland Eastern Shore, and Sean Miller was not happy with the Longhorns' performance at the Mood. We'll talk a little Monday Night Football, some big storylines from around the NFL and college football, including the end of a historic rivalry, at least for now, and also plenty of holiday fun, the best and worst parts of Christmas, how to avoid arguments on Christmas, and so much more. A lot to dive into on a Tuesday show. We appreciate y'all starting your mornings off with us. Another Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to each and every one of you tuned in out there. Buck, Merry Christmas.
Same to you. As we get ready to celebrate a wonderful warm Christmas, because today 78 degrees today, and it won't seem like Christmas for us around the area, but it really truly, I'm sorry, it will, because that's what we're used to in the state of Texas. We're not used to snowfall and 30 degree temperatures. Every once in a while we'll get clipped with some 40 degree temperatures in December, but it is going to be absolutely beautiful over the next couple of days, over the next week or so. Hopefully there's only one day it looks like of rain, which we always can use here, but it's going to be dry. Make sure that, if you've got your, I've looked out at some of my plants, and some of the stuff that I have is struggling right now. I've been thinking that, you know, these cool evenings is going to take care of it. No, but you need to water some stuff, get it watered down, take care of it, make sure everything is all set. And, you know, once again, if you got that Woods Comfort Systems, you're going to be okay. If you got it all settled and clean, because that air conditioner is about to pop on today. Almost 80 degrees on the 23rd. You know, you try to give me the official, it is winter on the 21st. You people, I'm not buying. I'll let you know, we're not at winter yet. We're not at fall yet. We're still ending summer, it seems like. But I think February will be our month of some temperatures that we may not like, but as of now, BK, it is absolutely going to be gorgeous the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'm seeing some temps in the 30s next week, but
mornings are fine. I'm fine. 6 a.m., you know, 3 in the morning, that'll work. But when they get back and roll into the 60s and 70s this time of year, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, this week it's going to be nice and warm. And I know how much you love talking about the weather, so I did take the liberty to look up whether or not we had the chance of reaching the warmest Christmas in Austin history. We will not be close. The hottest Christmas day on record here in Austin, Texas, 1955. Buck, it was 90 degrees on Christmas that year. 90. That's 10 degrees hotter than any other Christmas we've ever had in this city. So we'll be flirting with the second hottest Christmas. There's been a few 80-degree Christmases here in Austin since then, but we will not come close to breaking the city record for December 25th.
The year I was born, 55.
About that. No, I said 19, not 18.
No. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's it, 1955.
Okay, got wow. It. The average on Christmas Day is 63 degrees. So like you said, I mean, we don't get white Christmases or Christmas Eye, whatever the plural of Christmas is. It doesn't happen around here. It's usually relatively warm compared to just about every other place in the world. But yeah, this year, a little unseasonably warm. But again, we will not be coming close to the record breaker.
No doubt about it. Good morning to soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day, to all you EMS workers, police officers, everyone that is out there for our safety. Thank you so very much as we go into the new year. We do appreciate what you all do for us, and to your families for sharing you with all of us. And as we head into this this holiday season, I hope folks understand that it ain't about you. It's about what you can do for others. If you have the ability to help others and lend a helping hand, try to find a way to do that. Please and thank you goes a long way. And just be a part of the Christmas spirit. Not just the Christmas spirit, the holidays spirit, if you can. I got the remainder of my socks that will go out tomorrow, and I'm excited about getting them out there. And for those that have an opportunity to help others, you know, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. So it's just a part of it. If you can do it, do it. Just show that Christmas and that holiday spirit if you can, because there's a lot of people with affliction and addiction that are struggling themselves. So lend that helping hand to those that truly can use it. Doesn't take much. Doesn't even really take money. Doesn't take socks. It's just, if you got 5 minutes to spend sitting, if I could ever just go sit on the bench with that homeless dude and just sit there and talk to him and listen to his story, that would be it. That would be, I'm afraid to, but I mean, if I could do that, if I could give a hug to the little dirty little homeless girl, I would.
Mm.
I would do that.
Wow.
I could spare the hug this year.
How about that? You're in a great mood today.
I know. I'm telling you, I could do that. That's it. But it's a one and done deal. This is not multiple hugs.
I don't believe you.
I would. If she said all I need is a hug, I would do that.
You know where to find her. You can make this happen. Like, it's easy to just say that you would do it, but you can actually go out and do it.
I don't know if she's there. She's still hanging out at that McDonald's. If she's not there, there'll be another one there. You know, this is a time when we, you know, you and I, you know, as we share with our families and friends, I mean, the people that are out there on the streets, it's, you know, as upset as we can get about how they are, believe me, they don't want to be there. Who in their right mind wants to be there?
Some of them do.
No, I don't. It's just the way that now they have to, because they know when they wake up the next day where they'll be still, you know?
Right.
You know, you can hope. And I mean, with the grace of God, he puts his arms around them and protects them on a daily basis. But all of a sudden, they're not going to be out here and dripping, living in the kind of house I live in or the apartments you live in. It ain't happening the next day for them. You know, as long as they can find a way to stay healthy and, you know, and we can help them some way. I mean, that's kind of what it's all about, really.
For sure. Yeah. Whether it's homeless or a different organization this time.
Absolutely.
Of year, it is the giving season.
I mean, kids that won't get stuff this year. This is a year for a lot of people that they will struggle. And once again, as I told you, I said, everybody during the holiday season doesn't have that merry and joyful feeling. Some people get really down around this time of year. And I think we all know some of those people. We have a feeling who they are. And it's during the holidays that they get really depressed and get down, and just got to let them know that they're loved and cared for. And, you know, just let them know that you're there for them. Hey, you got 5 minutes. I got 10 minutes. I got an hour, whatever you need to do. You want to talk about something? Let's go. You know, it doesn't have to be about money. It can just be about your time. So,
yeah.
And I've seen people in a funk this time of year, BK, where I'm like, seriously, this is how you feel. But I see that person, and every year at this time, they're gone. I'm like, wow, this is weird. I would think you got things going on in your life that are good, but for some reason, these holidays make them just so depressed. And I'm like, damn, it ain't like you got to get somebody something, you know, but people are depressed about things like that. That's why I tell those kids in the car line, hey, dude, don't worry about getting your mom and your dad. If you can't get something for them, just thank them. Just thank them for a great year. It's been a great year, mom, dad. It's been great. You know, I can't get you anything. I'd love to get you something. Oh my God, go do the dishes one time. Put the dishes away. That's plenty for mom.
Well, there's a lot of stress that comes with the holiday season. And, you know, some people love the holidays. Some people hate the holidays. It's the reality of it.
Isn't that weird? It's weird. Some people love it and some people just flat out hate it.
Same as anything else in this life, right? There's no universal opinion on anything that we have in this world. And
no
exception.
Yeah. If I could wish for anything, I would wish for world peace, you know, I mean, just world peace, just find a way, just give us peace. You know, I mean, that's all God would like for all of us. not wealth, it's not this, it's not that, but world, just peace. Just leave it. Hey, help each other. And said, sometimes just leave each other alone.
Yeah. Good luck with that. If that's your maybe wish for something a little more realistic.
Yeah.
Well, you can actually get it under the tree this year.
Yeah. Get that. Try to get that world peace under that tree.
Yeah. It'd be nice. Believe me, I don't disagree with your sentiment, but
I did get you people some money yesterday. If you followed the buck yesterday, you didn't fade the buck, but you went in the path of the buck. You made some coin last night.
Yes, you did. The San Francisco 49ers taking care of business against Philip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football.
I want to watch that dude play, man. My goodness.
That was a great quarterback battle last night. I mean, Philip Rivers looked really good. He did not look like a guy who's 44 years old who had just been retired for 5 years. That guy was flinging the rock all over the yard. Problem was, the guy on the other side was even better.
Yes, he was.
Brock Purdy, 5 touchdowns. The first 49er quarterback since Joe Montana to throw for 5 touchdowns in a single game. The Niners did not punch the football last night. I mean, it was an offensive masterpiece. The 48 points kind of tells the whole story. But they got whatever they wanted against the Colts defense. And it didn't matter that Philip Rivers played pretty well. His defense wasn't getting them any stops, and they weren't winning that football game.
Yeah, he was on. I mean, he was throwing crossing routes. He was throwing timing routes. Threw the ball long enough. I mean, you could tell he doesn't – well, obviously at 44, didn't have the arm when he was 24. But as far as some of these timing routes that he threw last night, these crossing routes were right where only his guy could make the catch.
Yeah, I mean, Philip Rivers and Alec Pierce in the first quarter were looking like Tom Brady and Randy Moss.
How about that?
In 2007. I mean, those guys were, you know, a couple of touchdown passes. Those guys were in cahoots for that opening quarter. The Colts couldn't run the football at all. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is the best player on that team. He got held in check by San Francisco. And so the whole game was kind of on Philip Rivers' shoulders. And for a while, again, he was going blow for blow with Brock Purdy, but the Colts just couldn't get off the field defensively. And, the Niners did everything they wanted to on offense. Kyle Shanahan was in his bag. You heard Brock Purdy in his post-game interview on the field with Lisa Salters say that Kyle was in his bag. And sure enough, I mean, everything he dialed up was turning into gold last night. And no one's talking about the 49ers.
Even with all the injuries that they have, Christian McCaffrey looked fantastic. The offensive line looked great last night.
This is a Niners team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yes.
And like more often than not, they are really good under Kyle Shanahan. Last year, they dealt with a lot of injuries. They missed the playoffs, but they are 11-4 right now. Feels like everyone's talking about, you know, New England and Denver and the Rams and the Seahawks. And here's San Francisco. Maybe we're just used to them usually being in the mix in December, but they're 11-4 right now. If they win their last two games, they're going to be the number one seed in the NFC.
Wow.
They're very good. Now, they've got two very tough games to end the year. They host Chicago on Sunday night.
And did George Kittle get hurt that he made me out?
He banged up his ankle. He was still on the sideline. It looked like he could have come back in the game.
Yeah, he's done that ankle before, so.
Yeah, he gets hurt
a lot. He's missed some games.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see anything after the game or this morning that's like George Kittle is out for an extended amount of time. It didn't look super serious to where it's going to be something that impacts the rest of his year, but he did get banged up last night. But still, I mean, he was very productive when he was on the field, and 7 catches, 115 yards and a touchdown for him. He continues to get it done at a very high level.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy with an attitude. If you want to see a tight end go and block and just be an all around tight end, that guy isn't, well, maybe he doesn't look like he's, you know, 250 or 260, but boy, is he aggressive when it comes to run blocking. He doesn't play around. He doesn't take a backseat. He doesn't give you that, like, that half-ass effort when he tries to get on a guy. I mean, he goes to the whistle and he gets after it. And some guys fling him around because he's not that big, but boy, is he aggressive. There's an attitude about him when he run blocks too.
He's an awesome player, and he's one of my favorite players to watch in football because he's really good and he works his ass off. And like you said, he plays with attitude and intensity, and he brings it on every single play, every single week. And I mean, look, he's on the Niners. I can't stand the Niners. He hates the Dallas Cowboys. So, like, I'm supposed to hate everything about George Kittle, but he is the perfect embodiment of what you want in a football player. Again, really good, and he works his tail off, and he does the dirty work that not a lot of guys are willing to do.
Yeah, he just seems like the guy. If you put him in the middle, and if you know they're missing their Hall of Fame linebacker, that he would be okay in the middle. If he had to make tackles and get after you on defense, he looks like that kind of guy.
He's 6'4", 250.
Yeah, that's big enough.
That's edge rusher right there. That's too big to play linebacker these days. So, yeah, he was great last night. The Niners were great. Again, they've got the Bears on Sunday.
And wow, that's really a hell of a game.
Seattle. They host Seattle. Those are their last two games. So they've got to earn that number one seed. If they win those two, again, they'll get it. But they are in a very good spot. And then the NFC West, Buck. The NFC West has 12-3 Seattle, 11-4 San Francisco, 11-4 Los Angeles. That's insane. One of those teams will be the 5 seed. One of those teams will be the 6 seed. The 3 best records in the NFC might all come from the same division.
Yep.
And because of the ridiculous NFL playoff rules, it's not only college that has dumb playoff rules. Two of those teams are going to have to start their postseasons
on the road.
On the road. Bonkers.
Man.
That division is awesome. And the Colts are on thin ice, too, especially because the Texans keep winning. Texans 7-game win streak.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers is a nice story, but that Colts defense is struggling. Each and every week they get worse. They can't stop the bleeding right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The Colts need a prayer at this point. I think they've got to win their final two games, and they need the Texans to lose their final two games. Yeah. And I got a hard time thinking either of those are going to happen with the way those teams are trending right now. The Colts, what a fall. What a fall from grace. They were the story of the NFL in the first half, and they started falling apart a little bit. And then obviously Daniel Jones tears his Achilles, and things just went from bad to worse very, very fast.
Well, it's not like they're getting bad quarterback play.
No, well, last night they didn't. Phillip Rivers was really good.
That defense is they ran into a buzzsaw. A guy throws 5 TD passes.
Yeah. 5 straight.
And they ran the ball. And like I said, when McCaffrey's running the ball, inside the tackles and doing it pretty well, and his backup looks good, that's a problem for a lot of people.
The Colts were 8-2 at one point. They are now 8-7. That? Yep. Yep. Again, it's not been a nice holiday season for the folks in Indy. But congrats to you. You did win 75,000 units. San Francisco was a 5.5-point road favorite. They won by 21. So an easy cover for you and your cousin. And you are now even for the people. So congrats, everybody. You can buy 0 Christmas gifts this year because you have no money.
Yeah, but hey, listen, you're going to the new year thanking me.
The good news is you don't owe anybody any money, I guess. Yeah. There's your silver lining, but you have $0 to spend on your holiday gifts this year.
What stupid bowl do we have today?
You got 3 incredible bowls today. The Bush's Beans Boca Raton Bowl. You've got the New Orleans Bowl. And you've got the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Yeah, we'll deal with that later in the show. Forget it.
You better remind me because I will. Like
I know you can bypass the Beans and Scooters pretty easy.
Come on, Toledo versus Louisville. You don't want to see that. It's at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, I'll take Louisville for 50,000 units immediately.
You don't even care what the line is. You're just
Toledo. The Mac has nothing going for it this year.
You hate the Mac. Well, they are playing on a Tuesday, and if anyone's familiar with playing on a Tuesday, it is the Mac.
Tell the Mac it's 2-for-1 at our place, Tony C's Pizza today.
Let them know.
They can go 2-for-1 and get themselves some pizzas before the game. Oh, man,
those fat asses in the Midwest, they need 4-for-1.
4-for-1 pizzas.
You also have UNLV versus Ohio tonight. There's another MAC team involved if you want to bet against them. And then Western Kentucky and Southern Miss, your 3rd bowl game of the day today.
Yeah, I got 3 winners for you at the end of the show.
All right, well, gave us 1 with Louisville. They are -8.5, by the way. Yes. Against the Rockets.
No better than betting on Louisville, but against that foe for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll get to the other 2 before the show. I'll go 3 50,000 unit plays. But I won't see it. What do we got on Christmas? Do we have games on Christmas Day?
Of course we have games on Christmas Day.
And we've got the NBA. I don't want to mess with the NBA. I don't want to start jinxing people's teams. That's terrible.
We've got NFL on Christmas. We got the Cowboys on Christmas Day, taking on the Washington Commanders. everyone will be locked in on that one. We've got your Vikings playing on Christmas Day, playing host to the Detroit Lions. And we've got the Broncos and Chiefs. Boy, three games that before the year,
oh my goodness, like
we're going to have something. None of those games mean anything. I mean, the Broncos are the only playoff team out of all six that are playing, and they're playing Kansas City with nobody. They're on their third string quarterback right now. That's a Chiefs team that just lost to the Titans last week.
Yeah, that's a team that needs to go find a quarterback to finish out the year.
They probably should be trying to lose to get as high of a draft pick as
possible.
Yeah,
that's probably what's going to happen now. They're probably just going to let that hang.
Yeah, I don't know if they need to try. Like, Patrick Mahomes was clearly covering up a lot of issues on that football team the last year or two. And without him, they just lost to the team that had the number one pick in April.
They have no shot. They're just barely an NFL team right now.
Dude, they are 12.5-point home dogs. Kansas City, 12.5-point home dogs on Christmas to Denver. And yeah, you'll be able to bet on the Cowboys, Commanders, and Lions, Vikings. All three of those games are on streaming, Buck, so good luck finding them.
Oh, it's like the college playoff games.
You've got
outside of the one, it's like, where are the rest of these games at? ESPN says, no, we don't want those games.
At least those were on cable. Those were on TNT. Yeah. I know you have that channel.
You know what? I don't think I have it on FUBU. I don't think I have TNT.
Really?
I don't think I have that, no.
Okay. Well, you've got.
I was looking all over for that. I was looking all over for that game.
God, you got to get back to cable, dude.
I know.
It's making your life miserable with that. Yeah, Cowboys, Commanders, Lions, Vikings are on Netflix, and then Broncos, Chiefs is on Amazon Prime.
So Netflix is in the game now too.
Yeah, I think they had Christmas last year as well. So you've got options, though. I should say your cousin has options. I mean, shoot, this is our final show of the week. If you want to bet on some weekend games, you are welcome to do that as well.
Yeah, we'll get them at the end of the show. We'll get those and we'll rally some coin for the people going into the new year, because they're going to need it, because these college football games, they're going to get a little bit tougher than what we saw last week, which was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. My God. By the way, real quick college football nugget before we talk about some of the big Texas headlines from yesterday. Okay. Like, I wonder, you know, you're a Notre Dame guy, big time Irish fan. Notre Dame and USC are putting a pause on their longstanding rivalry. The Irish will instead play a home and home against BYU the next 2 years. USC and Notre Dame have played in every non-war, non-pandemic year since 1926. And the teams have released a joint statement that they are putting the rivalry on pause for now, and they look forward to meeting again in the future.
Yeah, that's a Notre Dame statement. That ain't a joint statement. That's Notre Dame and their head coach and their athletic director saying, no, we don't want to do that. Hey, they may be playing BYU. They may be stepping themselves into something worse, maybe.
Well, it depends on who you believe, right? I mean, I think maybe it.
Am I to believe the Catholics from Notre Dame? I don't think so.
Well, look, Notre Dame does not deserve the benefit of the doubt, but let me take you back 3 months ago before Notre Dame missed out on the playoff and took their bowl and went home. Lincoln Riley was telling the press that he didn't want to play Notre Dame anymore. He's like, this game doesn't do anything for us. It hurts our chances to make the college football playoff. And he's kind of right. And USC was 9-3 this year.
Yeah, they are in the Big Ten. It's not like they're out there in the Pac-12 anymore.
Right. They were 9-3 this year. One of their losses was to Notre Dame. If they played somebody worse than Notre Dame, then they would have been in the playoff discussion. I don't know if they had a good enough resume to be guaranteed a spot, but it is USC, big-time blue blood brand. Like, if they're 10-2, they are very much in the conversation.
Sure.
And Lincoln Riley, again, a couple of months ago, was like, I don't really know if it's the best thing for our program.
Yeah, am I to believe that that guy's scared to play tough teams? Yes.
Exactly. These are two teams that are just pussing out right now of everything when they get the opportunity. So Lincoln Riley has been consistently scared. That's why he left OU. He was worried about the Sooners move to the SEC. So
our athletic program would love to play you in every other sport except for football.
Right. And then Notre Dame, I mean, we know what they're doing right now, and they schedule a bunch of easy games every year. So I don't know if anybody, again, deserves like a benefit of the doubt here, But I don't think it's as like, it's classic Notre Dame. Like, this is what they're doing now. I think SC has a big role.
Yeah, if Katie Riley threw the shot across the bow, then, yeah, you might as well say forget about it because they can pick up. You know, as I said, Coast Guard will have their football team in there soon, and Notre Dame can play them.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, look, at least Notre Dame is scheduling somebody tough. BYU, good team this year.
Yes.
Just missed the playoff. You know, they've got that Mormon money coming in.
Just re-up their head coach. They'll get their play. They'll be able to expend for some players.
Yeah.
So I think they have stepped into something you didn't want to step into with playing BYU.
Right. Well, they were better than USC, I think,
this
season. And Provo's not an easy place to play, just ask any Texas fan. So, yeah, I'll at least give Notre Dame some credit for that. But, dude, this is one of the best rivalries in the sport. It should
I love it. I've always liked it.
It's not like, now USC is, one team has always been in a conference. The other team hasn't. So it's not like – I thought it was a joke that Texas and Texas A&M stopped playing. But, obviously, you had conference tie-ins that made things a little murkier there. This is – no. One team is still in a conference like always. The other team is still independent like always. Nothing has changed to the point where this game needs to go away, yet it is. And, well, maybe the thing that's changed that's caused this is the College Football Playoff Committee and the way that they go about picking their teams.
There's no doubt about that. I wonder, Texas has got this Notre Dame game here in a couple of years. So I wonder what that's going to be like, with Sark and how his thinking's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Sark, he left the door open on the possibility of canceling that series against the Fighting Irish. Again, Texas will play Ohio State at home next year. They will play Michigan at home in 2027. They're going to honor those return trips, and that shouldn't come as much of a surprise to anybody.
Right.
After that, with Notre Dame, I don't know how many teams, USC, case in point, are very keen on helping out the Fighting Irish right now, especially with that MOU that they signed with the College Football Playoff that like assures them of a spot in the field if they're ranked in the top 12.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out who's going to get sued when that thing really comes true. It's going to come true. Now, we've all heard about it. Now, that thing was under wraps for a while, but it's all over the place now. And somebody's going to court over that.
It feels like a violation of something. I don't know about legal things to know what that something is, but that feels like something is being broken here.
Right, it does.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a bummer. USC, Notre Dame. I mean, I do think it's kind of an overrated rivalry, but I still know the history, the tradition of that game. It means a lot to a lot of people, and
And especially since it used to be late in the season. I don't know where it falls, where it's been falling. It seems like it's been falling, four or five games before the end of the season. It used to be like one of their last games. And it really meant something if you lost that game or if you won that game.
Yeah, I think you're
and
right.
It all means something to Notre Dame because they want a patsy there. And they've got enough patsies on their schedule as it is. But if Lincoln Riley, he doesn't want to play anybody tough anyway.
Yeah, I think part of the beef, at least from USC side, was that, losing a game late in the season can
– being in the Big Ten, yes.
Yeah, can remove them from playoff contention, right? Like,
for sure.
That matters a lot in the eyes of the College Football Playoff Committee. And again, they set an example this year. It's 1 year. I guess it's 2 years when you look at last year. So it's not the biggest sample size in the history of the world. But they have basically told us to this point that we don't really care about strength of schedule. You can't have three losses and expect to get in the playoff.
Well, they felt like they screwed Alabama last year. And now they feel pretty good about it because Alabama beats Oklahoma. Now they're probably feeling good that, yeah, we got it wrong, but now we fixed up everything. Roll Tide is still in the playoffs. So
yeah,
we've done it right now.
Look, the two most controversial decisions the committee made were putting Alabama in and putting Miami in. Both of those teams won.
You're right.
So they were rewarded in that. It's not the committee's. The committee doesn't make the format. Like, the committee's following the rules. When they put Tulane and James Madison in, there is nothing they can do in that situation.
They couldn't take them out because they won.
Right. That's where the rule sucks. That's why the rule needs to change. But the committee, again, they received a lot of heat for those decisions, and both of those teams took care of business. So from that sense, they are right. I still feel like Texas could have beaten every team that played this weekend. I feel like Oregon and maybe Ole Miss are the only teams that would have been like that difficult to beat for the Longhorns. So that's where my bitterness still comes in. I'll get over it, I think, at some point.
At some point, yes.
At some point, I will. All right, we'll take your thoughts, some of the big headlines from around the world of sports. We've got plenty of Texas to get into, including what DeAndre Moore entering the portal means for the Longhorns at wide receiver and why I think it's kind of a good sign for where Texas is as a program. We'll get to that story in a moment, Buck. But first, how about our first round of sponsor shout-outs?
Shout out our friends over at Texas Orthopedics. If you're seeking that specialized, patient-focused orthopedic care, contact the expert and our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults, spinal care, trauma care, sports medicine, joint replacement, and more. Dr. Danny, Dr. Christopher Stockton are dedicated orthopedic surgeons there. And folks, their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in the state of Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to Covert Beet Cave. I went by yesterday, chopped it up with Stacy and Jerome and Gina. I mean, great people out at Covert.
Absolutely.
They are the best. And dude, I've told you I'm kind of in the market for a new car. I'm trying to put it off as long as I can.
You didn't have the time to walk around 42 acres, did you?
No, but I didn't, like, just driving my car in off the highway, pulled into a parking spot right at the front of the dealership. I was just like looking right, looking left.
Oh, yeah.
God, their selection is ridiculous. They got some beautiful vehicles out there. And when it's time, when I finally pull the trigger on that new whip, I'm going to Covert Beet Cave. Don't just take my word for it. How about some testimonials from some great customers out at Covert?
You see Covert everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
Covert's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the Covert family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, love the Coverts. And also, Buck, check out what we got this morning.
Sweet.
Classic root beer, Olipop, one of the 20 great flavors.
So get yourself some now because those shelves will be emptied here quickly at HEB. You go there after our show, and people are grabbing by the case.
Oh, man. Yeah, how about a last-minute stocking stuffer, though? Throw a couple of cans of Olipop in a stocking stuffer. That'll work. This is awesome. This is the game changer of all game changers. This is soda. It tastes like soda. It's root beer flavored. That's what this will taste like. But unlike the other root beers you've been drinking in the past, this is actually good for you. Ingredients that support your digestive health. 9 grams of fiber.
That stuff there will not clean your battery on your car. Like the other
stuff. No, it will help regulate and clean out your insides.
Yes.
But you can't pour it on a car battery and clean it. You don't want to be drinking that. That's ridiculous. This is what you want to be drinking. Tastes great, actually great for you. Pick it up anywhere. The Buck's at HEB, but really any grocery store, convenience store, anywhere around town, go get you some Ollie.
Our good friends at Hat Creek Burger, folks, at some locations, they do have breakfast starting at 7 a.m. this morning. Check out those locations around you. But it's all about the double with cheese. I had a Hat Creek Burger yesterday. BK, I'm weighing in at 157.2 yesterday.
All right.
How about that? 157.2. Three meals yesterday. And thank you to the folks at Hat Creek Burger because I did have a banana pudding shake. And I also had a small strawberry shake along with that.
You had two shakes?
Yeah, I did a little mixer yesterday. Yeah, 157.2. And thank you for the double with cheese, large fry. I was on it. I didn't leave anything. I didn't leave anything whatsoever left in the bag. I had ate every fry. It was absolutely delicious. Thank goodness I'm sober because I would have had five margaritas yesterday because I was trying to be the big man. I would have downed five at a sitting. That's how... Yeah, I'm into it. I'm getting there. I'm coming into the new year, and it's going to happen. 160 is about to happen. But thank you to the folks and one of our great sponsors there at Hat Creek Burger Company. I love it. I love the taste of the burgers.
Wow. Well, you know, two milkshakes will do more to put on some LBs than five margaritas would.
Really?
Now, if you drink five margaritas and then you get the munchies and that turns into you eating three cheeseburgers, then all right.
Three burgers.
Hang on. Yeah, if you got three big hats after that, then all right, that's going to help with the calories. But two milkshakes?
Yeah, dude. Now the strawberry one was the smaller one, like the kids version, not like the kiddie version, but small version. But that one was a regular size, and I got after it, man.
That's impressive. You know what? I'm not in the holiday spirit. We're throwing on a sweater today.
Oh, no, not that one.
We got the keto sweater.
You still have that sweater?
I still have this sweater.
That is the ugliest sweater of all time.
I got a couple of, this is, I think, my favorite. I got a few Hanukkah sweaters, a couple of Christmas sweaters, but none are as.
Tito's, yeah. Nothing like a little bit of Tito's for the holiday season.
Yeah, the Tito's handmade vodka sweater. Shout out to our friends at Tito's.
Awesome.
Tis the season, our last show before Christmas. Something was missing this morning. Had to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, that sweater will go well with the 80-degree weather. Wear that all day long. Get around there to see people today and see how that feels around you.
Yeah, these things are itchy, man.
I know. They're kind of tough on you.
Christmas sweaters, Hanukkah sweaters, holiday sweaters, whatever you call them, they are itchy. So it's tough to wear. You know, an hour and a half on this show, I can handle it. But the people who go out and wear these like to a 9 to 5, God bless you.
Checking us out, Sue Patrick since 1975. Thank you to Jay and the whole family over there for having us yesterday. That was awesome. I'm glad they survived having Ronnie and Wags over there. I know it was tough. It must have been tough on them, but that was a great time over there. I mean, they're great people. They've done a lot for us this holiday season and during the course of the football year. But hopefully we did some good stuff for them also yesterday. Hopefully people are still doing their last bit of holiday shopping can get by there today and tomorrow. They're open up to what time tomorrow? I think 3 or something like that. Or is it 1 tomorrow?
It's 3.
So get on by there. They got plenty. They got a lot of cool stocking stuffers over there.
Yeah, they do. You can do your Christmas shopping today on Christmas Adam, or you can do some Christmas shopping today on Christmas Eve. Whatever
there you go.
They got you.
I love that place, man. I had to get a few things. Yeah, just a few things.
Just a few things for
something for me on Christmas. Once again, as I tell you, it ain't about you. Well, yesterday it was about me.
Good. You deserve that.
It was about
treat yourself. Me. You're treating everybody else this holiday season. Treat yourself.
Yeah, man. Thank yourself. You very much. Just what I need, another polo.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, the best selection of Texas gear at Sue Patrick.
Absolutely.
Let's talk some Texas football, shall we? Yesterday, after our show, DeAndre Moore announced that he is intending to enter the transfer portal when it opens on January 2nd. Not a huge surprise that he's leaving Austin. We've talked about the high likelihood of this happening for really a couple of weeks now. Now, for a while, there were some folks who thought that Demo was leaning towards entering the NFL draft. Instead, he's leaving via the portal. My guess is, you know, DeAndre Moore's camp didn't love what they heard from folks at the next level. So they felt like he needed an extra year in college to improve his draft stock and better his chances of having a long career at the next level. But DeAndre Moore leaving the Texas Longhorns Buck, you know, 456 yards, 7 touchdowns last season. He was the Longhorns' leading returning receiver coming into 2025. This year, 532 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. Very key piece and key part of this Texas offense the last 2 years. But he is off and leaving for another opportunity.
I won't miss him. Tell the truth, I think it's a bad move on his part. He's got a quarterback that now is playing pretty well at the second part of the football season, going into another year with the. He would be a key factor in an offense that has guys that don't catch the ball that well. He could catch a bunch of balls next year if he's that good. I don't see him as being that. I just see him as being an okay guy. I think you can find. With all these 5 stars that they've had, find me one of those guys that can get on the field and play. I don't think he's going to be it would be the main focus anyway. Yeah. I don't think he's as consistent as he could be. You know, he's often hurt. So I don't think that's a big miss for Texas right there. I think you can find somebody to replace that particular player. I mean, if it was Ryan Wingo leaving, you know, I'd probably be saying, well, you can find a consistent hands guy, but he's a big play threat at all times. When he does catch the ball, this guy's just okay. I just don't know what would make you, if you're going to the pros and you're telling me I'm going to go work on my game and work for the NFL, I could see it. But he already has a place that he's going. I mean, he's not just leaving because he's waiting for somebody to come and get him. He already He's made a decision just before the end of the season that, you know, he's been in contact with somebody, you know, the non-contact or don't mess around with guys. He already knows where he's going.
You might be right. I think DeAndre
And I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying I don't think that's a great move on his part when you have a quarterback that's here that you're used to catching passes from.
Well, I think it's twofold, right? I mean, obviously it's a challenge for DeAndre Moore. He's going to have to go to a new team and learn a new system and play with a new quarterback that he has no chemistry with. So that is a little more difficult than running it back with an offense that you already know and a quarterback that you already are comfortable with.
Yeah, but he's not a young guy. He's a veteran player. He should be able to walk into any place and do those kind of things. But it's the quarterback part of it I don't get.
Well, I think what you said before that also carries a lot of weight, too. This is a loaded wide receiver room. I mean, Ryan Wingo is clearly the number one guy on this offense.
Yes. Right?
Like, based on the targets, based on the stats, based on the everything, Ryan Wingo is the number one guy for Texas. You've got Emmett Moseley, who you got out of the portal last offseason. He'll be going into his second year in Austin, and hopefully
I think will be the primary target.
You think he'll be more primary than Ryan Wingo?
Yeah, well, I think he'll be more consistent catching balls and doing things that Arch Manning will trust in throwing the ball to him.
Well, I think you would be more consistent catching balls than Ryan Wingo, but I don't think you would be the number one target if you were on the team. I don't know. I mean, you might be right. I think Mosley's going to be a big part of the offense. I'd be very surprised. Look, maybe Texas brings in a big-time elite transfer wide receiver, and that guy is the number one. But as it stands right now, I think Ryan Wingo is clearly the top guy. But still, I mean, you've got Moseley back. Remember, Moseley didn't come in until after the spring.
Right.
And he missed most of fall camp with an injury, and he still put up some solid numbers in the second half of the year. Parker Livingston returns for another year. And then, yeah, those three freshmen, I would say four, but Michael Terry III has been working with running backs lately. So for right now, we'll remove him from the conversation. But Dalen McCutcheon, Kalik Lockett, Jamie French, those three 4- to 5-star freshmen that you signed last year, those guys will be going into year two. You also brought in one of the best athletes in America, with Jermaine Bishop Jr., who put up some ridiculous high school numbers this year in Texas, who might be so good as a freshman that he has to at least see some playing time. So I think that's what DeAndre Moore was looking at, too. It's like, yeah, I might be going to a place with the worst quarterback and just the worst team, but this wide receiver room is loaded, and I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to get.
Yeah, but that dude's been the leading catcher, right, for the 2 years that he was here?
No, he wasn't the leading catcher.
He wasn't, I mean, the year before, not this year. But
last year he was fifth on the team in receiving yards. I mean, he was tied for second with those 7 touchdowns, but fifth on the team in yards. And this year he was second on the team in receiving yards, but behind Ryan Wingo.
Dude, I like when there's some stability, and I know that I can catch a bunch of balls someplace. I know my quarterback. But like I said, somebody's already been in his ear. Somebody's been on the – they've been in the, you know, here's how much money we can offer you, and here's where you're going. I mean, I don't see him going down to, you know, I don't see him going to North Texas or someplace like that.
No.
I think he's already got a place that has a quarterback in mind.
Yeah, he might. He might. And he's going to have some options, too, from Power 4 schools. Like DeAndre Moore has been productive enough in college to where he doesn't have to take a step down and go play for a G5 team. Like, this dude, SEC teams will be interested. Big Ten teams will be interested. I mean, a lot of teams around the country will look at what Demo has done these last 2 seasons.
And Nebraska generally take the scraps of Texas.
Right.
Receiver.
Yeah, Nebraska would be interested. And Demo, like, he's not your stereotypical diva wide receiver at all.
No.
This guy is as good of a teammate as you could possibly have. I mean, he embodies first guy in, last guy out. You know, he learned from Jordan Whittington, and he basically became Jordan Whittington from that standpoint of that dude just worked his tail off every single day. So a team's going to like the production, but they're also going to really like the work ethic from DeAndre Moore. And I think a big part of why he's leaving is he's going to get a payday from somewhere else. And I think this is a sign of a changing of the guard for Texas, Buck. In years past, I'm talking about last year and 2 years ago, too. I'm not just talking about like the 2010s when Texas was bad. In years past, I think Texas doesn't let DeAndre Moore leave. I think they're doing whatever they need to do to keep a guy like that around. Because he's
a consistent solid, yes.
Right, consistent player, solid player, well-liked and respected, culture guy. feels like in the past, this staff would have bent over backwards to keep a dude like that around. This year, they're letting him go.
Well, yeah, because they know it's all in 2026 because they need a player that's going to produce. They don't need a guy who's going to miss four games or have an ankle injury and you don't see him for three or four. They want somebody that's they want a star. They have to have a star still at the wide receiver position because their star that they think is a star is not consistent enough with his hands. They can't have that. They got to have a guy who is going to be, you know, like I said, I think they believe that they have two other guys that have really nice hands and will contribute, but they need a guy who can take the top off the defense a little bit.
Yeah, and that's the difference, right? Like Leonga Lefau, I don't think Texas would have let Lefau walk in previous years. Even C.J. Baxter, I don't think Texas would have let him go in the past. Well,
then they're foolish if they wouldn't let that guy. By the way, I'm still surprised they actually let that happen anyway.
Yeah.
Because they were so in love with that guy. It was that I'm like, really? You're going to wait this whole thing out. You're going to wait for 2 years until his senior year to tell us that, you know what? He just never got over the injury. They would have waited the whole, I thought, like you said, in years before, they would have waited his entire career to see if he would have turned out.
Yep. They would have kept guys like that in the past. Like last year, Texas lost 13 players to the portal. This year, the number's going to be higher. But last year, they lost 13 guys to the transfer portal, but only one of them was a starter, and that was Bert Auburn, the kicker, who basically lost his job. You know, Texas didn't kick a field goal against Ohio State, but it was Will Stone who kicked the two extra points in the Longhorns' final game of last season. That was the only starter that they let go. They paid everybody. They did whatever they needed to do last year to keep everybody else. This year, they're letting these guys go.
Well, I mean, when you get rid of your defensive coordinator who was okay, he wasn't really, really the problem. You got to continue to try to get better. You can't stay the same. You can't sit around and wait for C.J. Baxter. If it's probably going to happen this year in his second year with that knee. You don't have time to wait when you have Arch Manning probably going into his last season. It's all in. So you've got to try to get the best of the best you can to help him out and the team out. And whether it comes to coaches, whether it comes to meals on wheels, everything you can do to make your team better, the head coach has to try. Because this is an all-in year.
They need to be working with better charities. Is that what you're saying?
Everything that they do has to move up. It can't stay the same or go backwards.
That's it. I agree. And that's what Texas is doing here. They are going to be more aggressive in the portal than they've ever been. I will eat my words if I'm wrong, but I'm so confident in that take. And they are telling you that, yeah, hey, DeAndre Moore, solid player, right? An SEC quality starter. Leonga Lefau, solid player. SEC quality starter. We think we can upgrade.
They got to believe that they can upgrade because of what they did with the wide receivers and the five stars that they have. They're going to lean on their coaches and say, one of these guys over here that we went and got out that's a five or four star, you have got to make better. They have got to come through for us. We don't have another year to say, oh, you know, we got this great receiving class that's going to show out as juniors and seniors. They don't have that. Those guys have to play.
Well, that doesn't sound like to me, all in is more of you're going to go find a better receiver than DeAndre.
You're definitely going to do that. You're going to go out in the transfer portal and look for better than you can get from that sophomore class that'll be playing for you that we're supposed to jump out because we didn't see anything from them. There's nothing that I see that tells me that any of those guys are going to be all of a sudden 60 catches a year guy out of nowhere in their sophomore year. They would have been playing in their freshman year.
Well, yeah, we did just didn't see him play at all. I mean, that's
yeah.
They keep a tight rotation at wide receiver, and they kept that.
Well, they can do all their philosophical. We like our three or four. When it's all in, you're trying everything. When you're getting rid of defensive coordinators and stuff like that, it's all in.
Exactly. That's the point there. It's like, I don't think this is all like one of these younger receivers is going to be the guy to replace DeAndre Moore. No, I think they're letting DeAndre Moore walk because they think they are going to find an upgrade in the portal.
Yes, and they should. You're right.
Somebody more established, somebody better, somebody who's more of an all-conference caliber player. DeAndre Moore, very solid. I don't want to dunk on him too much, but he was never going to be an all-SEC kind of guy.
No, he wasn't.
Leonga Lefau, same thing. Started every game for 2 years in a row at Texas. That's not easy to do. Solid player, but not an all-conference kind of guy. Texas is looking for those difference makers, I think, on both sides of the ball. like you said, all in, not a Jerry Jones all in.
I think. Yeah, and really I thought about it. I thought about it yesterday because we had a long conversation at Sue Patrick's yesterday about the head coach and about him trying to get the heat off of him. I recant that. I mean, I take that back. You have to do everything you can to make your football program better. And if you feel like you're staying the same on defense, and this defense last year at the end of the season, it didn't stand up to the test of what you needed to do, then you have to make a change because you are, like you said, it is all in 2026. And if you feel like Will Muschamp gives you a better chance and you want to be more aggressive and you need a different type of attitude, you have to do that as the head coach. You know, you have to change a lot of things in your program. It just can't just stay the same because that was not good enough. And staying the same won't work here.
Yeah, we played a lot of sound from Steve Sarkisian's Friday press conference on yesterday's show.
People can look at it in a lot of ways. It can be, I'm taking the heat off of me. I need a guy who's a head coach on the defense. I mean, whatever it is, coach, it has to work.
Of course, yeah. And Sark knows that. Like, he knows what the pressure is like at a place like the University of Texas. He knows this year was a disappointment, and he knows what people are saying about him.
Well, he knows that they're on him about, hey, become the head coach, give the play calling to somebody else, and you can work with both offense and defense. And I don't want to make it, like I said, when we were talking yesterday, we made it sound like he had to do so much work with the defense. I don't know if that's true or not.
I didn't make it sound like that. That's what he said.
Yeah.
We made it sound like he said that at his press conference.
Okay, well, he didn't do a great job at the end. If he was working with the secondary, he didn't do a great job either.
Well, he doesn't get blamed for the secondary getting bad. If you just want to say, well, yeah, it's the head coach's fault whenever anything goes wrong, then all right, you can have that opinion. But I'm not blaming when there's two secondaries coaches and a defensive coordinator. I'm not blaming the offensive-minded head coach for the secondary taking a big step back down the stretch.
Yeah, I just want to make it so that I'm not saying that he was just trying to, you know, throw the whole thing that he had to work so hard on defense, because there's some things offensively he didn't get done. But if he feels like now I need a guy who's been a head coach, maybe not had great success as a head coach, but he's the kind of guy I want, the aggressive approach that can handle all my defensive players, and now I can just go work with the offense. That's all in.
Yeah. Well, let's play that cut again from Friday. Because I want to make sure you've got this figured out in your head, and I just want everyone to hear this again. Here's Steve Sarkisian talking about why he let go of PK and brought in Will Muschamp.
I think we have plenty of issues. Like, I don't think any program in the country is perfect. You know, everybody's got their own warts, right? And you try to look at you know, how can you make the without overreacting and being thoughtful of what are the necessary changes that you think can really impact the totality of the team. You know, I think one thing that really helps me with Will is, you know, his head coaching experience, having been in this conference at Florida and at South Carolina, his experience of kind of being under Coach Saban, speaking the same language, to where I feel very comfortable with Will being the head coach of that defense. And that allows me and frees me up a little bit more time from an offensive perspective, which, so I think, you know, instead of, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, I'm able to let him go do his thing on defense and really be a great leader over there and head coach over there, which allows me to get back to doing the things that I believe in, I'm really good at. I looked at a lot of different variables of what would be in the best interest of our organization, and the idea that I could get a guy caliber of Will Muschamp to come in here, not only his defensive pedigree, but the leadership, the head coaching experience, it just was too good of a fit to pass up.
Yeah, the head coach experience. He wasn't a great head coach. He'd still be a head coach.
Right, of course, of course. But, I mean, Steve Sarkisian, like, you weren't making something up, but you didn't say robbing Peter to pay Paul. I didn't say robbing Peter to pay Paul. Steve Sarkisian said he was robbing Peter to pay Paul because he had to do too much on defense, which took him away from the offense. Now, is that really true? I don't know.
But yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. I think as I was talking yesterday, it made it seem like that I was saying that he paid way too much. You know, he was not spending enough time with his offense. He was working on the defensive end of it. Now he's got a guy who can, he's strictly calling a head coach because he was a head coach in charge. And this is, that's your baby. I'm going to leave you alone. But no, dude, you can never leave them alone. You're the head coach. You're never leaving them alone unless Will Muschamp is now the head coach of the University of Texas. Well, I mean,
he's telling you what he's doing. I mean, he wants a head coach for his defense. Sark will obviously be the head coach of the program. He's going to, you know, make the big decisions with everything that happens with this team. But he wants somebody that he can leave in charge of that defense to where during practice, leading up to games, and during games, more importantly,
yes,
focus on the offensive side of the football. He's not, again, I made the Sean McVay comparison yesterday. Like, that is what Sean McVay does with the Los Angeles Rams. He's the offensive guy. Yes, he's the head coach. He makes all of the head coaching decisions.
Sure.
The defensive coordinator runs the defense. Sean McVay runs the offense and calls the plays, and that's his side of the ball. That is what Texas is doing with Steve Sarkisian. And obviously, time will tell if he's right. If this decision backfires and the defense goes backwards, then Steve Sarkisian's going to be held accountable. He's not going to be able to say, well, that's the head coach of the defense, blame him instead of me. It's like, no, coach, you made this change, so right, you're held accountable. He knows that. But that is what he is telling you, and he's referenced that multiple times in that press conference where, you know, he had to be spending time on the defensive headset on game day, which he felt like took him away from his offense and cleaning some things up that plagued the offense this year. He doesn't want to have to deal with that. That is why, in his words, he made the move again. Now we just have to hope that it works.
Yeah, I know you. I can just tell he wants a more aggressive approach to defense for sure.
I too.
From a guy who just got you to back-to-back semifinals, and who wasn't the guy was no slouch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. That's a risky move.
Yeah, it's just risky. Yeah,
there's not a person in the world. This is not.
I guess when you make a risky move like that, there are people that'll say, what are you doing? Why would you do that? You've got a wide receiver coach who everybody thinks is pretty good recruiting and coaching, not under contract yet. Why haven't you got that part done? You're changing out your defensive coordinator. You've gotten rid of a running back coach. Well, which you had to do. Somebody was going on that side of the ball. It wasn't going to be you and your play calling. You weren't going to get another play caller because you're going to hold on to that card as long as you're here. Because when that time comes where he's not the play caller, I don't think he'll be here. I think he'll walk. I just do. I just think that's in his nature that I'm not going to that. I think I'm just that good at doing that. That's how I was brought here. That's how I'm going to die on my sword that way. Yeah. And I even understand that part of it. But I shouldn't understand that part of it because everybody in the country is doing it. Why should all of a sudden you understand it about this particular guy when everybody does it, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of great coaches don't call their own plays on either side of the football.
Right.
Kirby Smart and Ryan Day, those are the two best coaches in America right now. Neither of those guys call plays on their side of the ball. It's probably taking
Ryan Day. He got guaranteed, you know, he has his hand in all of it. And especially.
Yeah. It's still Kirby Smart's defense. It's still Ryan Day's offense at the end of the day. Those guys just don't call the plays on game day. Like that's the difference. And, you know, Ryan Day was the offensive play caller at Ohio State for years. They told him he couldn't do it anymore. They hired Chip Kelly before last year. What did they do last year?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I keep bringing it up, maybe a different conversation, but there hasn't been a head coach in college football that has won the national championship who has called plays since Jimbo Fisher at Florida State before the playoffs.
Long time.
In a long time. Before the playoff even started. So Steve Sarkisian doing something that, again, he's not alone. There are plenty of coaches out there that do this, but the coaches who have won national championships are the guys who typically don't call plays. And
yeah, I mean, this is, like you said, this is an all-in deal, should be with the quarterback, you know. And as I said, I truly believe that offensively, the head coach is going to have a lot of decisions when it comes to offensive linemen and what he's looking for. And as much as you love your offensive line coach and you've been with him a long time because he's still here, I don't think he's going anywhere. But the head coach is going to be, you know, a lot of times you like your offensive line coach to make more so. He's like another head coach when it comes to that position in particular. Those guys are hard to come by to really get good ones. And I think he believes that Kyle Flood is that guy. He's been with him a long time. I don't think he's going to make a change, but I think he's going to have a lot of say in who he chooses, you know, when he goes in the portal or anyplace else when it comes to offensive linemen from this point on.
Well, it's his offense now. It's always been his offense, but now more so than ever before, he's telling us, like, I am the offensive guy.
Yes. So
every decision that gets made on that side of the ball, again, correct, he's still the head coach, so it's all encompassing, but really on the offense, that's him. He's got to figure out the offense because
yes, you're letting us know because you know who you just hired on the defense, right, the head coach, he's going to take care of that. You're going to take care of this offense.
Pete Kwiatkowski's defense has been more consistent than Steve Sarkisian's offense the last 3 years. The numbers back that up. So you're making the change with the defensive guy and not with the offensive guy.
Yes.
That's, again, there are plenty of Longhorn fans who are talking like you. Like, what are you doing? Why are you making this move? This doesn't make any sense. You demoted the wrong guy, but he did it. So now he turned up the pressure on himself, and this offense better be better in 2026. Otherwise,
yeah, that run game better be better. That offensive line better be better. Those receiver better be more consistent. It's all has to work offensively. Sure.
Yeah, he's running out of people to blame. He used like his big, no, it's not my fault, it's that guy's fault card this year, letting go of PK. He won't just be able to fire Will Muschamp next year and everything be okay. I mean, more of it falls on him now than ever before.
It falls on him and the offensive line coach, because we know where we can see the deficiencies. I mean, just your normal fan can see what's going on and the moves they had to make and what's happened with this offensive line. And we can talk about how much better they got at the end of the season. They need to be better from the get-go.
Yeah. My God, the offensive line sucked this year. It's horrible. Unacceptable.
Trying to find ways to smooth around that than how the quarterback and the offensive line got a little bit better as the end of the season went on. But
the quarterback got significantly better, and the offensive line did get a little better, but it took them until, game 8?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
starting late. Five, and it still wasn't that good. It, like, you know, they had that starting five against Georgia, and they got pummeled by a Georgia defensive line that wasn't very good at rushing the passer this year, at least by Georgia standards.
And it's a Jerry Jones all in situation.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. Jerry Jones all in was trading Micah Parsons, Buck. Is Texas about to let Colin Simmons walk? No, they're not. Don't say that.
Oh gosh.
It's real all in, not Jerry Jones all in this year.
Yeah, they have to make it happen, or who do you look to then afterwards? Yeah, as I said, he'll have more to say about what he's looking for in an offensive lineman. He's not going to leave it up to that guy. That guy's still, I believe he's still going to be around. I don't think there's going to be any more changes.
Well, I think Chris Jackson's gone, so I do think there's more changes coming. So I don't think they're done yet. But Chris Jackson, that wouldn't be a firing. That's his contract is up. And I think Jackson wants to get back to the NFL. At least that's what I'm hearing. So I don't think they're done.
And then he hadn't signed that deal. That deal would be,
right,
you know, recruiting, signed, sealed, delivered, going to a bowl game. You would know if he's here or not.
Right. Yeah. That's what I've heard. Nothing official yet either way, but
maybe somebody can help Wingo catch regular balls and hit him in the hands. Maybe. Yeah. I thought Chris Jackson was a pretty good coach.
Yeah. I thought so too. I still think so. I didn't make it in the past, but
right.
This was the worst year the Texas wide receivers have had in his 3 seasons in Austin. So,
yeah, when you're getting rid of first round draft picks and first day guys, that's different
for sure. Yeah, I mean, you didn't have Xavier Worthy, you didn't have A.D. Mitchell, you didn't have Matthew Golden on the team, but
wow,
Ryan Wingo's the guy that I think we all look to, and it's like, again, he does a lot of really good things. He was second team all conference in the best conference in the sport. Not easy to do, but the drops were the drops. So there's a lot to clean up in that wide receiver room, I think. And I don't think it'll be Chris Jackson doing it. All right, we'll take your thoughts. Obviously a lot to dive into. We spent some time talking about DeAndre Moore going pro. I think it's a good thing for Texas. I think it means they're going to be more aggressive than ever before in the portal. Would love to get y'all's thoughts as well. We still need to talk about Manny Muhammad's decision, also Hero Canoe's decision. We've got some Christmas fun planned in hour number two as well. But before we shift gears, Buck, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
You know, as I said, you know, Tuesdays, 2-for-1 pizzas over at Tony C's Pizzas, Austin original coal-fired pizza, serving that New York-style pizza, and, of course, the great Italian food straight from the cookbook of the Ciola family. Love Mr. C. They've been in the Bee Caves area for over 15 years, folks, and two for Tuesdays on pizzas. You're going to love the pizza. Pizza of the month, that chicken pesto pizza. Great locations. Highway 79 up in Round Rock, right beside the Dell Diamond. Anderson Lane, of course, and Bee Cave. And, folks, grab a hold of that great Italian food. Sell some of that fine bread that they have there. Meatball sub. Everything that they offer at Tony C's. You've got to love it. But you do love two for ones, don't you? Two for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you wish you could have two for the price for one on Olipop and Allstad beer to go along with that pizza. How about that Allstad beer to go along with your Tony C's pizza?
Yeah, that'll work. I'm going to be cracking open an Allstad early today.
Because you're all in.
Final show of the week. I'm all in.
And you're all in?
Absolutely. I'm all in on the holidays. There's got to be somebody who's already popped the top on an ice cold Allstad this morning, right?
Yeah, somewhere, somehow, yes, they have.
There aren't a lot of people working in this city this week.
Well, they pretended yesterday that they went in to say hello, and then they got out of there. Yeah. When we left, after 9 o'clock, they all were on their way home, I saw.
Yeah. You think about that sometimes? Like, is anyone drinking during our show? I think about that sometimes. What's the thing? You think anyone's having relations listening to us right now?
There could be one or two out there getting that done.
You think so?
You're two couples.
Yeah. You know, maybe you don't like turn us on after you've already turned your cell phone, you know.
Maybe we'll just have us talking in the background.
Yeah, it's like we're already on, you're watching us, and then your significant other comes in and is like, I'm in the mood, and then you just don't turn us off. So now we are the voice of your intercourse.
Very nice.
I think about that kind of stuff. Am I the only one who thinks about that kind of stuff?
Yes, you are. As a matter of fact. Yeah. That's all on you, yes.
Oh, God. Well, love the Allstad beer, the best beer that you can find here in the great state of Texas. Not only available just here in Austin, I'll be going up to the Metroplex later this week. I'll be getting some Allstad up there. They've got it at Houston. They've got it at San Antonio, all over the great state of Texas. Whatever you have going on this week, tons happening. Obviously, your holiday gatherings and get-togethers, your football watching, your basketball watching, whatever you have coming up over these next few days. It's going to be a beautiful week all across the state of Texas. You need a great beer to accompany your holiday watching. Maybe take the top off, relieve some stress a little bit. It also makes for the perfect last-minute gift for the beer drinkers in your life. Tons of different brews. Brewed in Fredericksburg, so you're supporting local business every time you buy Allstat. And I'm telling y'all, it's the only beer that I drink and one sip, and you won't go back to the other beers that you have been drinking in the past. It's Allstat beer, no impurities, no regrets.